Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
Book review with Pimelo Modene.
On the street.
On the air.
One page at a time.
As we do on Tuesdays, it's the book feature. Now, the Ilembe Book Festival is set to take place on the 25th of October at the Luthuli Museum, KwaDukuza. Let's speak to arts and culture journalist Karabo Holeng, one of South Africa's most brilliant arts and culture journalists. Karabo, good evening. So good to have you on Kaya 959.
You're so kind, Nzinga. Good evening. And we meet again. If we're not in the studio, we're at school. It's nice.
I love this for us. I really do. But just tell us a little bit about that Ilembe Book Festival that's taking place.
So the Ilembe Book Festival is it's the perfect place to connect with the magic of stories. Imagine a vibrant space that's filled with the buzz of bookish conversations, where the pages of new and beloved South African books come to life.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what's going to take place at the Luthuli Museum at KwaDukuza in KZN. And it's not just any festival, Nzinga. It's also a deep dive into our rich culture and our powerful contemporary voices. You can look forward to live author readings and panel discussions, and you'll hear words straight from the writer's mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And three of those writers are going to be there, the ones whose books I'd like to review with you today.
Mm-hmm. We're going to get into that review shortly, but I'm so interested in the festival. I was reading up on it earlier on, and I saw that a large part of it is people from the community coming together, even in terms of the earlier iterations, people funding it themselves, making donations, making it very community-centered.
Yes, so the organizers, the way that they're doing it is as a collaborative approach.
Mm-hmm.
So usually with festivals is, you know, and it's been a big critique of arts and culture festivals that there are a lot of innovative South Africans who are trying to address that, in the sense that a festival will come into a community, it's a buzz, it's a means of employment, and then it goes out. Whereas with a festival such as Ilembe, the intention is to start making reading part of the cultural and social life of the members of that community.
Mm-hmm.
So all the skills that they pick up in terms of learning how to organize, having their own book readings, getting access to books, they're able to have that kind of empowerment and agency, so that they're not just waiting for us people from Joburg and elsewhere to fly in, spend some money, and then get out.
Mm-hmm. Karabo, I'm so envious of you, because you're going to be reviewing some books, which means you've actually managed to drag yourself away from a cell phone or a device, you know, which is a battle that every day a lot of us are facing and maybe not winning. So just take us through the books that you're going to be reviewing, the authors, and then we'll get into them one by one.
Well, if I don't read the books, I won't get paid. I won't make rent, you know, because it's my job. So which one would you like me to begin with, or should I just go?
I can see there's Fabrics of Love by Lebo Mazibuko, Diplomatic Ties by Mpho Boshego, Healing the Mother Wound. Ooh, let's start with that.
Okay. Healing the Mother Wound is Mushitari Lehlomela's follow-up to her best-selling memoir, The Girl Who Survived Her Mother. And with this book, she offers, because in the aftermath of, you know, she gives you a little bit of a background to that biography, but I read it as well. So in the aftermath of her going through her healing journey with her relationship with her mom, she became a mother wound healing and wellness coach, where she actually has clients from all over the world who are men and women. And so this guide goes on to address some of the different layers at which the mother wound manifests, and how it takes place. So it's not just about a relationship in the womb or between a child and their caregiver or the person who gave birth to them, but it's also the village around which they're raised. So if you're raised in a village that that looks down on women, that oppresses women, then, you know, you're also inheriting a communal and societal mother wound, whether you are you were born a boy or a girl. So when she goes about addressing how you can take some personal agency in how you navigate this issue, is by, you know, using this guide. So how she presents is that you write a contract with yourself, and then she takes you through, and a lot of it is embedded in scientific research, in psychology, neuropsychology, as well as indigenous and different religious belief systems. Right. So it's also very grounded in research from different parts of the world. But then she also locates it using the language and idiom of Bapedi culture, because Enikemopedi, which I found really beautiful. Yes.
Is it a difficult book to get through? I'm thinking it's year end. A lot of us are tired. You know, you want to do the work before the resolutions kick in. But also there's the heaviness that comes with going to the end of the year. So I'm just wondering, is it a book that you can work through without too much weight?
Well, that's what she says in the contract that you sign with yourself once you've read the introduction and you're going to take the journey, is that don't put a strict timetable on it. Healing has its own time and its own calendar.
Love
you know, some breakthroughs may come through quickly. Others you need to sit with, and sometimes you just need to put it away and just kind of, you know, attend to life as well. So this is not something where you can say, oh, I'm going to wait until nothing is happening to address this, because something's always happening. And she's very gentle. You know, she's very gentle in how she takes you through it. As you're reading it, I mean, I didn't find myself falling apart, but I mean, I'm years along my own journey anyway. But she does handle the reader with care.
You know, as you're describing this book, Karabo, I can imagine almost, it feels like maybe if you're somewhere, seaside resort, there's a breeze, you keep on going towards your chair, coming back to it, doing something else, coming back to it. And at the end of that period, you healed or you've gone through that journey. So it sounds incredible. There's also a memoir by Kutlwano Masote called Imperfect Harmony.
Yes. Oh, Kutlwano Masote is one of my favorite human beings ever. Mm-hmm. Like, across, you know, because he's one of South Africa's most and internationally most respected musicians. And his book, his memoir is called Imperfect Harmony. And it chronicles his journey through the world of classical music. He's a cellist and conductor. And the profound personal harmonies and discords that have shaped his life. So, to add more to the pun, if living a life of note was a person, it's Kutlwano Masote. So he goes through, you know, he chronicles his unique upbringing as the son of musical legends, his education at the prestigious Drakensberg Boys Choir School, and his groundbreaking career as one of the first black orchestral conductors in South Africa. He looks at identity, legacy, and the struggle to find his own place, and as well as the pressures of coming from a well-known family and navigating the predominantly white world of classical music during and after apartheid, as well as the personal challenges that he faced that led to his ultimate redemption in terms of the imperfect harmony.
What's the importance of reading stories and also writing them, us getting insights into people's worlds, even if it's just a brief window and a brief peek?
I can't remember who said it, but it was a famous writer from the early to mid previous century who said, we read to know that we are not alone. And I think particularly in terms of the stories that we're telling, yes, they may seem a little bit heavy, but writers and even as human beings, you know, even if you're chronicling your own life, it's also a way to kind of take control of your narrative, and it'll help you, you know, clear out the things in your life, you know, and to approach healing, but also to seek joy. It's not always about, oh, we're reading because we're brokenhearted and we need to fix the country, we need to fix the world, but also to enjoy whimsy and imagination and flight, you know, to take flight and to escape in a way that costs a lot less to your pocket and to your reputation than hitting the streets.
Okay. You can tell our age by that. Okay, so let's look at diplomatic ties then. What's that about?
So diplomatic ties is I was really excited to pick this one up because it's a political thriller that's set in the high stakes world of South African international relations. So it's a kind of coming of age story about Mbali, who's a brilliant, ambitious young woman from a township background. She's from Mamelodi, and she's embarking upon her first diplomatic posting to Brussels. And while it's not a traditional spy thriller, through Mbali's story, Mpobo Shekho navigates the unspoken rules of the embassy, a suffocating relationship with her ambitious boyfriend, Vusi, who wants to go on a tandem posting. He wants to do the thing like in The Diplomat, the TV series. And a complex, nuanced relationship with the powerful older Minister of Foreign Affairs at the time.
While she's doing this,
she's carrying the weight of black tax, right, and expectations. Because, you know, if she makes it, she's pulling her entire family out of the claws of poverty.
That's fiction, obviously.
Yes, it is.
But check how many diplomatic friends she's had, or friends in the diplomatic corps, because it sounds like a very meaty and juicy, insights that she may have picked up. And I think to your point...
Well, you and I as journalists have friends in the diplomatic corps, but we need to protect ourselves.
Yeah, exactly. That's that's sounding juicy. Even the characters, but it also speaks to... you know, ambitions that people may have had or interests that you have, even in fiction, you know, getting insight into the Department of International Relations and Cooperation, because it's, even though it's fiction, it's grounded in some kind of reality, you know, postings to certain places, a certain minister. I'm sure it's not just made up. You know, I'd at some point in my life was like, oh, you know, I'd love to be a diplomat because it seems like such a fascinating career. I know two diplomats who travel all over the world, and their lives are so fascinating because there's also very high highs when they're posted to certain countries that are considered first world. And they are, you know, very interesting experiences when they're posted to places where there's almost literally nothing to do. And then the coming back to South Africa and the waiting and all the machinations that take place there. And what's our last book, Garabo?
And the final one is Fabrics of Love by Lebo Mazibu. So this is a poignant story that uses the rich metaphor of the colorful African print fabric to tell the story of the Ndoi women. I don't know whether it's Ndoi or Ndwa. It's spelled N-T-O-I, I guess it's sort. And it's set in Ndofai and Soweto. And just like the favorite prints that define their world, the lives of these women, they blend and complement and they clash in equal measure, right? So you've got the characters of Buang, who's the matriarch, who's the aunt to Mwiponi, who is the central character through whom the novel kind of breaks open and we get into the story. Mwipone's background is that she moved in with her deadbeat father. So she's from Botshabelo. And her father comes to visit her on her birthday, and she decides she's going back with him because the mom is completely incapable of taking care of her. She's an alcoholic whose boyfriend sexually assaults. Mwipone is just a mess. So she's like, no, take me to your people, because also the father would go into a trance when he sees her, because it turns out that Mwipone has a striking resemblance to her paternal grandmother. So she goes to his place in Ndofaya. But there she finds Buang, who is her dad's sister. And she is a headmistress in the local high school, and she's had to raise her two daughters on her own, take care of her father who's ailing, and deal with the comings and goings of her brother. And then we also meet her two daughters, Buang's daughters, Gal, who becomes an unfortunate statistic. She's a young mother trapped between a problematic relationship with a former convict and an unreliable baby daddy. And then you have Rosemary, the other sister, who's focused on heeding her mother's advice, which is work hard, avoid romantic relationships, and study. And she goes on to medical school. And then Mwipone is caught in this world where, you know, these are her cousins, so they're like siblings, but they have their own internal sibling-like rivalry, and she kind of adds to the mix unintentionally. So it also explores those kinds of tensions. And the other themes that it looks at, such as, you know, including the family dynamics, paternity and absent fathers. Buang's got her own struggles with the father of her daughters, which directly informs her puritanical attitude towards sex and relationships. You've got Mwipone's search for home and Gal's struggles with the fathers of her children. And then you've got the issue of respectability politics, which are embodied by Rosemary's path and Buang's strictures, because Buang is a member of the Catholic, the Manyano version of the Catholic Church.
Mm-hmm.
In Soweto. And then obviously the issue of youth at risk, because it is a stark portrait of vulnerabilities that face young men and women, such as unplanned pregnancy, you know, criminal influences and educational barriers. But the solution that it offers, right, and this is what I like about, and that's the sort of thread that I'd like to weave through all of this, all these reviews, is that while external pressures are immense, the path to peace for family and for community lies in confronting long buried truths and exposing lies sometimes. Mm. And it also, you know, posits that you can't have peace without truth, and that unity can only be forged through this difficult shared honesty.
Beautiful. Karabo Holeng, thank you so much for your time on Kaya 959 this evening, taking us through our book feature, taking us through the Ilembe Book Fair, which is taking place on the 25th of October in Kwadukuza. Sounds really incredible. All those books sound amazing. The authors are going to be there. Thanks for your time tonight.
Thank you, Nzinga. Good evening.
All right, and that's where we wrap up Point of View for this evening. Mablair's standing by. I see yesterday he brought all of us in studio ice cream. Today the generosity is not there, you know. If you start something, Mablair, I think you need to keep it up. But he's going to be taking you through from 10 o'clock. It's been such a pleasure being with you. Good evening.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.